Okay, we are up to mitzvah Taf Ayin Aleph 471. The Isser of eating non-kosher grasshoppers and Shirtzei Ha'of, the creepy crawlies among the birds. Again, as we have mentioned, Shmini and Re'eh are the two major areas that Hilchas Kashrus are discussed, and one parsha has to be read in light of the other one. So we continue with a couple of more Isurim relating to Macholas Asuro. Second to last one. Says the Torah here in Parshas Re'eh, listing off all of the birds, called Tzipor Tahora Tochelu. Any kosher bird one is allowed to eat. V'zeh shelo tochlu mehem, the following ones cannot be eaten. And the Torah lists off the non-kosher ones, as we know, because those are the smaller quantity. And that we discussed last time, does one need a mesorah for a kosher bird? What if it fills all the requirements, but it just hasn't been eaten? That's the issue of turkey. Ha-nesher, va-peres, va-azniyah, all the kosher and all the non-kosher birds that are listed in these psukim. And then the Torah continues and says the shrutzim, the creepy crawlies amongst the birds, are all tameh. V'kol sheretz ha'of tameh ulachem lo yachelu. All the creepy crawlies among birds are not kosher. One is not allowed to eat them. Rashi says, what does it mean, sheretz ha'of? Heim ha-nemuchim, these are the very low creatures, harochshim al-ha'aretz, that crawl on the earth, kigon, zvuvin, utsaraim, v'chagavim temeim, the flies and the hornets and the non-kosher grasshoppers, keruyim sheretz. All of these are very low to the ground, and they are considered shratzei ha'of, and that is today's aveira, the isser of eating. Last time we discussed the mitzvah of checking for the simani ha'of. We discussed also, back in Shmini, the mitzvah of checking the simanim of the grasshoppers. There are four different simanim that are discussed for a kosher grasshopper, as hopefully we will get back to. Three, which are really four, but either way, these are the simanim by grasshoppers. There are simanim by birds as well that are learned out from Torah Shebal Peh. So, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Shelo Leachol Sheretz Ha'of, Kigon HaZvuvim VaHadvorim, bees, eating a bee, Vatsaros Vizulasa, Miminim Elu, Valzen Nemar, Vacholsheret Sa'of, Tameu Lachem Lo Yachelu, Blushin Sifri, Vacholsheret Sa'of, Vacholu Mitzvah Losa say. This relates a little bit to the idea that we're allowed to eat honey. It's a topic of a separate shiur, but we know that we eat honey today. How are we allowed to eat honey? There are two issues that come up with the kashrus of honey. Number one is, a bee is not kosher. That's today's Aveira. Today's Aveira is not allowed to eat Shratzei Ha'of, included in that is bees. So how can we eat honey? Why? Because the rule usually is Hayotzei Min HaTamei Tamei, Hayotzei Min HaTahar Tahar. Kosher milk is milk that comes from a kosher animal. Non-kosher milk is non-kosher milk that comes from a non-kosher animal. So it applies to many different extractions from animals. So too when it comes to bees. Doesn't honey come from a bee? And therefore bee is not kosher, so the honey should be not kosher. Maybe we should only be able to eat date honey. Explain the mafarshim. No, because really, the bee, honey is not considered that it came from the bees. It really comes from the flowers. The bee brings the nectar and deposits it in the flower. The bee is just the shaliach. It's the vehicle, but it's not the source of the honey, and that's why it is kosher, number one. The other issue discussed in the Rush, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, is in all honey, sometimes there are tiny little pieces of bee in it. Tiny little bits of bee in it. Maybe the Ragle HaDvorim, the Mefarshim discuss. So why isn't bee butta? Why isn't honey usser? Because you have these legs floating around. So the answer given by the Rishonim is that no, once something is in honey, then it's like a new thing. It takes on a new status, and therefore it is but lechor batel and nullified and takes on the status of the honey. It loses its own status and gets a new status. I even heard in a shiur recently, Derech Agav, that there are some, you know, there are different minhagim about what to do with salt on the table on Rosh Hashanah in that time period. We know the minhag is to have honey, dipping one's challah bidvash. Does one have salt on the table? So different achronim. Some say to have salt on the table also. Some say to dip one side of the challah in salt and one side of the challah in honey, because there's a lot of symbolism of salt. But there's one idea that suggested that there's some achronim that were bedafka did not have salt. Why? Why would you be dafka to not have salt on Rosh Hashanah? Salt, as we know, is the way to make something have longer life. When we salt something, when we salt a cucumber, we make it into a pickle, and it extends its lifespan. When we salt hides of an animal, it becomes leather. Salt preserves is the ultimate in preservation. Hot and meaning, it's whatever it is now, this is the way it's going to be. Maybe the Mefarshim say, based on this rush that we just said, what does honey do? It gives something a new status. Salt extends the status of what it is. On Rosh Hashanah, we want Panim Chadashas Balakad. We want to become new. We want to get rid of our old. And therefore, we maybe Vedafka, the symbolism is not to have any salt on the table, but only to have honey, which gives a new status to those Ragle Hadvorim that are in the honey. And that's why you don't violate today's Avera of eating a Sheretz Ha'of. Okay, we continue. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Veda, ki mebnei sha'asra ha-Torah, ha-ofos ha-tameyim, since the Torah listed off the non-kosher birds, v'hizkiran beferish, l'fishein mu'atin, and it lists them explicitly because they are not too many, k'moshe kasafti barucha b'seder b'yom ha-shmini, as they wrote in Shmini already, nisharu kol shar ha-ofos b'cheskes heter. So all other birds besides the ones listed in the Torah are assumed to be mutter. Because of that, the Torah has to tell us that sheretz ha-of is asur. Hutzrach ha-kazav l'asur sheretz ha-of lo-di-enu she-enu michlal ha-mutarin. These aren't mutter. Even though these aren't listed in Parsha Shmini or in Parsha Re'eh, they're not mutter. V'yavav isha simanim shel tahorim mekubalim v'yiduam heim lanu. Even if they have simanim, somehow, of the tar type of bird, still if it's a sheretz ha-of, all Shratzei Ha'of are Aser. That's one reason why the Torah had to go out of its way to tell us that. O Nomar, or Kimiyosh Sheretz Ha'of Min Befnei Atzmo Hutzuchul Asam Aferish. Or maybe it's just a different category. It's a totally different entity. There are birds, and there are Shratzim of birds. Two different categories. It's not like the first day that Shratzim are a part of the category of birds. And that's where the Torah had to go and Aser them. Either way, that's the a line quoted, as he says earlier, Of Fasheretz Of Shtei and Yonim Chalukim Lagambi. There might be two different categories. Good, Misharshi HaMitzvah, the Sharshi this Mitzvah is like all the other ones relating to Macholas Asuros, the Timtum Halev that comes to one's Neshama. Dine HaMitzvah. Some of the halachas of Shratzei Ha'of and Chagavim Temeim are discussed in Maseches Chulin. But the one who makes it, opens up the door for us to these halachos is Rav Chaim Kanievsky. We've quoted whenever this comes up, back in Maseches Chulin and elsewhere, his Sefer Karnei Chagavim. He wrote an entire Sefer on the halachas of grasshoppers because he says there's only one little simon in Shulchan Aruch about it. And even though our minhag, Ashkenazic custom, is not to eat any grasshoppers because we don't have a mesorah to it, but still, what was the Rambam's mitzvah back in Parsha Shmini? It's a mitzvah just ladas, to know, to be mavchin. And that's what he writes in the Hakdama to Karnei Chagavim. Sheyesh omrim shafilu eina rotza klal la'achlan. I'm not Taimani, I'm not one of the types of Spartic groups who eat these kosher grasshoppers. Even so, mitzvahs asei lilmod v'leida dinei simani chagavim. It's a mitzvah to know it. Even if general Talmud Torah, there's a mitzvah specifically to learn some of these halachas. So today's mitzvah gives us a chance to learn some of the various halachos of grasshoppers. Just to quote, as we always have to, the story, and it's confirmed in the interview. There's an interview on, if one wants to look it up on YouTube, the interview with Chaim Kanievsky. There's a story that is told that one time when he was trying to figure out certain ideas of how certain grasshoppers looked, he couldn't figure it out. He asked his daughter if she could try to bring one, and she couldn't get one, so he couldn't figure out what the certain grasshopper, what some of the simanim were. And when he went back to his Gemara to try to continue learning the sugya, a grasshopper jumped off the windowsill onto his Gemara and stayed there and let him be examined. Then he went away, then he had one more question, another one came from the wall in his apartment, and came and let him examine the grasshopper. So in the interview, they ask him, is this story true? And he goes, okay, Zemet. That's all he says. Zemet, he's a man of a few words. But there's a postscript to the story, two postscripts to the story. One of them I only heard recently. Number one is, after the Rebbetzin was Niftara, and they wanted to expand the apartment to include one of his kids, so they could make it a one big apartment with him, there was one wall that was in the middle. They were going to break it down. They were going to break it down a few walls. There was one wall that he said, no, you can't break that down, this wall. Why? Because this is the wall that the grasshopper jumped out of. So the nes that occurred, I'm not touching that wall. That wall is staying. And he quotes based on a chidah, did it earlier, but that is number one. Number two, the other one, which is a more recent addition, last year sometime, there was somebody that was giving a shiur. I just saw a report of this in Bnei Brak, and he was quoting some, in the context of magical, situations that happen to the Gdolim, and he says, you don't have to believe everything. You don't have to believe everything like the story, the grasshopper story with Chaim Kanievsky. He quoted something like that. And the story is that he went home to his own house, and his house was infested with grasshoppers. Infested! He didn't know what to do. It took him 3-4 days. He didn't know what to do. And finally, his friend said, maybe you go ask Mechila from Chaim Kanievsky. He says, of course I'm going to ask him Mechila. I didn't mean it. So they go ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky's like, you don't have to ask me Mechila. Nothing happened. It's okay. It's fine. They go back. There's not one grasshopper left in his house. Right, this is the certain Gadolim have certain connections upstairs, even in our day and age. Okay, so let's get into some of the halachas. Number one, grasshoppers, as we know, do not need shechita. Right, not to shechita. A behemoth v'chayas and ophos need shechita. Grasshoppers and fish do not need shechita. Says the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Shechita, dogim v'chagavim einan tzrichen shechita. Meaning even if they're not shechted, it's not that it's not kosher. If it's a kosher grasshopper, then even if it's not shechted, I'm allowed to eat it. Dogim v'chagavim einan tzrichen shechita, says the Rambam. Ela asifasan hi amateras osan. Just gathering them is what's matir them. Harehu omer, as the pasuk says in Bamidbar, hatzon v'akar yishachet lahem umatzal lahem, im es kol tegei hayom ye asif lahem umatzal lahem. You see the word asifa used by dogim, not shechita, which is used by tzon u'bakar. So as says the Rambam, asifas dogim kishchitas bakar v'tzon. U'bechagavim, what about grasshoppers? So it also says, it says in Yeshayo, Nomar Osef Hachsil Ba Asifa Levada. So the verb Asifa is also used by grasshoppers. Lefichach. Therefore the Rambam says, if you find a dead grasshopper, that's okay. Im Mesu Me Alein Batoch Hamayim Mutarin. If a fish dies in the water, it's mutar. The Asifa, even though the Asifa and the Shechita are parallel to each other, says the Rambam, they're not exactly parallel. Shechita must remove the life of the animal. Asifa does not have to remove the life of the fish. That's the Rambam. Shitu, matar lachon chayim. You can even eat them alive. Wow, really? Is that called an Asifa? So the Mishnah Mefarshim get into the issue about the Shaksu. That might be a separate Avera. But in terms of Hilchos Kashrus, it might not be a problem. Who is the Rambam going up against here? Who is he precluding? He has to say, Lafichach, therefore, if they died in the water, it's Mutter. And if the Kesavishna, Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon holds that Mesim Asurim. If they die before you get there, it is aser. Let's start from the beginning of the Kesef Mishnah. The Davka Hecha Da Amarachmano De Leifuk Chiyusei B'Shechita. Only where the Torah says you have to remove its life with Shechita, do we say that if you didn't remove its life with Shechita, but it just died, that it's an Avela. Or if you ate while it's still alive, it's aser. Aval Hani, but by these fish and grasshoppers, Kivan De Lo Boy De Leifuk Chiyusei B'Shechita, you don't have to remove its life with Shechita. In Mesu Me Aleihem B'Toch Hamayim Mutarim U'Mutar La Mutar, they're mutar. You might say Asifa still needs Ba'odam Chayim, so the Kesef Mishnah explains not, and of course it is against Rav Sadia Gaon, says the Kesef Mishnah. What's the lumdus of Rav Sadia Gaon? Rav Sadia Gaon says that the Asifa itself has to remove, it's an exact parallel to the Shechita, but it doesn't need Shechita. So if you look in the Karnei Chagavin, Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Simin Gimel, which is all about the Shita of Rav Sadia Gaon, he says, L'anias daiti ula yesh lomar. The Rav Sadia Gaon Sfirole, Rav Sadia Gaon holds, Nehi de Chagavim ein sarich Shechita. There's no mitzvah Shechita by Chagavim, but there is an Isser Nevela. What is Nevela defined as? If something dies Mamela. If somebody kills the Chagav, or the fish, doesn't matter how. That's not called nevela, because it was killed by a person. That's called nechira, and therefore it's mutter by the dog and the chagavim. But the chiddush of Sadia Gaon is that there is an isur nevela. There's just no mitzvah shechita. You can be mechalik. V'isur nevela hu rak b'meisa me'eleha. Avalam neher go al yidei adam. Be'eza mishsa shehi. In any way mutter. V'yafilu emisa shelo b'kavana. Even if you stepped on it, it doesn't matter. As long as a person was involved in removing the life of this of this grasshopper, it is okay. V'kosh nergai de adam mikri nechira umutter ve'nafkamina bein nechira simanim l'sharim akamos v'rakma mesam eile mikri nevela. Just if it died by itself, it is called an avela, and that's how you answer all the questions on Rav Saad Yigon. Good. What other halachos apply to the grasshoppers? There is, what are the simanim? What are the simanim? So let's look in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Pehe, simani chagavim, kol sheyesh lo, arba raglayim, the arba knafayim, four legs, and four knafayim wings, eva knafav chofinis rov oregufo, and the wings cover most of the length of his body, the rov hakefo, most of the circumference of its body, the yesh lo shnei kraayim, and it has two other limbs. Not 100% clear the Mefarshim about what are they. There are two extra long legs up near the neck, above its other legs, that allow it to jump. Lenater bahem v'afilu ein lo achshav v'yasid legal lo machar zman. Even if it doesn't have them now, but they're going to get them, grow them later. V'af, that's the next one. So that's got to have the wings, got to have the legs, got to have these extra shnekra'ayim, which is pasuk in Chumash. Lenater bahem al haaretz, for it to jump. And even if they don't have it now, as long as it will grow, la'achar zman, right? That's based on a kri and a ksiv, asher lo kra'ayim. Lo kra'ayim, even if it's low, they don't have kra'ayim now, but they will have la'achar, they will have la'achar zman. So an interesting tshuva recently from Ramosha. Ramosha writes, by a kri and a ksiv. By a kri and a ksiv, we know the halacha is that a balkore has to look inside when he reads the Torah. What about a kri and a ksiv? If it's a different word. So low and low, and you look inside. But if it's like in the Tochacha, there are different mamish words. Yish kavena, yish galena. Is there any chiyuv to look at the wrong word as you're saying the kri? You have to look at the ksiv. So Ramosha has a shuv about that in Chelek Gimel Simen Mem Aleph, where he discusses this. He says mustaver that you have maybe you should look at the word. Right, you should look at the word. It talks about if there's wax on the word, even if it's a kri and a ksiv, right? It's still a pasul sefer Torah if you can't read it. Bechlav, kri and iksiv go back a very long way. The Gemara Nedarim says that from Ezra HaSofer there was a kri and iksiv. There is a very difficult radak that the other Mefarshim do not like. The radak writes in Shmuel Beis, in Perek Tezvav, that kri and iksiv are from the fact that we went into Galus and we lost the Mesorah, and therefore some people had this Mesorah, this word, and some people had that Mesorah. Which makes it sound like it's all a bit d'eved. Really, in a ideal world, we wouldn't have any kri and iksiv. We would know exactly what it's supposed to say. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim seems like it was given to Ezra HaSofer, at least from Ezra HaSofer, and therefore it's not something that is b'di'evit. The Gemara there says in Dachlam Zayin, Kriyin v'lo ksivin, ksivin v'lo kriyin, halacha l'moshe b'sinai. Right, even earlier, but that is a difficult radak, but either way, that halacha is based on a kriyin ksiv. And then the Shulchan Aruch adds the last point, v'af al pi sheyesh bo kol ha-simanim alalu. Even if it has all the simanim, it has the four legs and it has the four wings that cover most of the body in length and circumference, and it has the extra shnei kra'ayim, even if it's going to get it later, it's still okay. But then the next one, the fourth one, the avobish yish bo kol ha-simanim alalu, eino mutter ela im kein shmo chagav. The people call it a grasshopper. The people call it a chagav. O sheyesh lem misores sheshmo chagav. Or even if we don't, but we have a misora that this is called a chagav, then it is also mutter. But it needs that name calling. Needs the that it should be called a chagav. Explains the Rav Chaim Kadievsky in his commentary here on the Shulchan Aruch. V'osam she'en lahem misores, enam vadei asur melim yisafek. If there's no misora, they're not vadei asur, but it doesn't mean shum safek. V'nafkamina linyin svek sveka. V'chulu. And he can use umim mekomos einu and ar mekomos. Noagin shol echol shum chagav, she'en lanu misores, she'en anu bekiyin bishmo seyen. We're not experts in their names. Mikol makom nafkamina ladidon hasimanim, shishim jesh misores, neidem efshal lismoch alecha. Good, and then the Shulchan Aruch says Chagavim Dori Shchita, and Tzir Chagavim that might come out of Chagavim Tzmeim, it is mutter. Okay, those are some of the halachas. Again, the Karni Chagavim, he talks about more issues related, but let's just continue a little bit more. Says the Chiddush, but no, I guess you say b'chol makom b'chol zman b'zachar min hakeves. The mitzvah applies. This Isra applies always, even b'zman hazeh. Somebody eats a non-kosher grasshopper, non-kosher creepy crawly in the bird kingdom, a fly, and another insect that flies. That's asu daraisa. The overall zev achal kizayis mishrasiyov. If I eat a kizayis of these animals, osha'achal, or most of these animals are smaller than a kazayis. So what if I ate a smaller? They're usually not chayiv unless it's a whole being. Osha'achal, sheretz, echad, min ha'of kulo, v'yavo mishim bo kazayis, or if you ate an entire one, even if it's less than a kazayis, mikivin sha'achal kulo, of course you ate the whole thing. Even if it's very small, like a lentil size. The Milchas Chinuch doesn't know what the Chinuch is talking about. What does a lentil size have to do with it? Any size, birya. That's the sugya birya. A whole item, the din is that one gets malchus for, even though it's less than a kezias. This is the din to araisa of birya. Even if it's less than a kezias, if it's a whole item, so then it is usur to eat the araisa with malchus. On a derabbanan level, as we know, the rabbanan extended the concept of birya to say that a birya is not batel. The araisa, a birya insect, a whole insect, one gets malchus for. The Shulchan Aruch then goes, based on the Gemara, that a birya is not batel in a ta'aroves. That is a chumra derabbanan, that certain items are not batel. A chaticha haru'uya liskabed, a very chashev piece of meat, right, is also not batel. Same simon discussed, simon kuf aleph, dvarim chashuvim that are not batel. Rav Soloveitchik notes, quoting here in the Shi'irei HaRav, interesting that the Shulchan Aruch says these items, abirya, chaticha haru'uya liskabed, are not batel at all, period. While if you look in the next simon, simon kuf beit, a davar sheish lo matirin, something that's going to become mutter is also midirabana not batel, but there the Shulchan Aruch says, well, is a chilek. If it is nis'arev b'mina, it's not batel. But min b'she'eno mino, if it's not in its type, then it's batel b'shishim. It's easier to become batel in shalo b'mino. And the shayla is, they're both chumra d'rabanans. Birya chaticha rulis kabed versus davar sheish lamatirin. Ask Rav Soloveitchik in Shiuri Harav and Simin Peivav, why is one not batel ever? The first two, birya is never batel, while davar sheish lamatirin is batel if it's in min b'she'eno mino. So explains Rav Soloveitchik beautifully. There's a big difference between a birya not being batel and davar sheish lo matir not being batel. A birya or a chaticha ru'uya liskabed, a very chashev piece of meat, is not batel. You know what that means? That the rabbanan were mafkia the ta'aroves. This is such a chashev item, it's as if it's not mixed into anything. It stands by itself. Even if it's physically mixed in, it's so unique that it's a whole item. It stands by itself. It's mafkia the ta'aroves. If that's true, then it doesn't matter what kind of ta'aroves it is. Mino, b'she'eno mino, doesn't matter. Davar sheish lamatir, it's not a davar chashuv. Why isn't it batel? Because Rashi writes at the beginning of Beitza, you might as well wait. It's going to become mutter tomorrow. Meaning it is a ta'aroves. It is a ta'aroves. But we say, you know what, you might as well not go lakula in this ta'aroves. But then already you could say maybe there's different kinds of ta'aruvos. Certain kinds of ta'aruvos, you can go lakula. That's a very important ta'ara, the difference between birya and chaticha, ru'ilis kabed, versus a davar she'ish lamatir. But either way, this is a case of birya that one is not allowed to eat, even less than a kezias, and if it's a whole item, one receives malchus. Okay, birya also comes up in Ilchas Brachas. We know the Shulchan Aruch says that one shouldn't eat one grape. It's a big suffix about a bracha achrona. Should eat zero grapes or a couple of grapes? Because one grape, it might be a birya. Might be a birya. Tosfos is suffix. Maybe birya not only applies to isurim, but even applies to Hilchas Brachas in a positive sense. Okay, we'll have to stop here. B'Hashem, next time we get to the last halacha in the last mitzvah in Parshas Re'eh relating to issues of ma'achalos asuros. Okay, we'll stop here.